spend some time in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, so go ahead and turn there. The first, I think I have verses 1 through 9. We're going to expand a little bit into to verse 11. We'll see how the Lord leads this. So before we do that, I'm going to pray. God, I just thank you that we can come together. I thank you that we can open your word and we can read it together. Lord, I just pray today that the things that you speak through me are just that. There's nothing more added to it and nothing taken away from it. And it is straight from you. Lord, I just pray for new insight. I pray for clarity. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit fills this place and in turn filling us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Corinthians is written by the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul happens to be one of my favorite people of history, if you say. You know, the whole question, if you could meet one person from the past, who would you meet? I have a few, but Apostle Paul would be one of those. Just to be able to sit with him, to hear what he endured and how he did it. And I would anticipate that he is a very steady, just kind of like even keel conversation guy. And so I just love to meet with the Apostle Paul. So he is writing to the church of Corinth. He had already visited them about 18 months prior to this. He is writing to them from Ephesus. And the reason he's writing to them is because he heard from the household of Chloe. We don't know a lot about Chloe other than she's a friend. And somehow he has heard from Chloe that, hey, we really need you to either come back or help us out here. There's some different things going on with sexual immorality and divisions within the leadership of the church. And so that's how we come to 1 Corinthians. And so we're going to read chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll continue on. And the title, at least in my version, says, The Church and Its Leaders. So, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. And that goes back to talk about how he's already been there, and he actually, we don't have it, but he wrote a letter to the Corinthians before 1 Corinthians, so we could call that 0 Corinthians. And so he's basically saying to them, I've already addressed this to you, and still, in verse 3, you are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Some versions will say, like carnal. Verse 4, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I, Paul, planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters it is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Keep it open, because I'm going to refer to it quite a bit this morning. So to know about Corinth, the actual city, maybe you know, but I had to refresh my memory. Corinth was a major port for Mediterranean trade back in the day. They had just a lot of growth. You think of it as one of our big hub cities in the United States. That was Corinth. Mediterranean trade, all sorts of different people coming in, all different cultures, people groups, religions, all of it was all coming to Corinth. And so the church is also newly established, as I explained, about 18 months prior to this. And because they're newly established, they equally have just as much diversity as the city around them. And so, as I said, Paul is on his third missionary journey in Ephesus, and he's writing back to the Corinthians. And the main thing that we're going to talk about here in chapter 3 is quarreling and division, because not just because of leaders, but because of wisdom that they thought they had, that the church thought the leaders had. Okay? So when you look at the first part of this chapter, Paul says, he's talking to them, reminding them, you know what, when I was first here, you were babies, and so I gave you milk. Now, that he's not saying you weren't Christians at all, so I didn't give you anything. He's saying, as babies, I gave you milk. Why do we give babies milk? Because that's about all that they can tolerate. They can't chew. They can't swallow real well, right? We all know this. And so Paul is expressing a little frustration because he was thinking, you know, by now we should be moving on other than just a little bit of milk. And they had not. They are still worldly. They are still seeking the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of the leaders instead of the wisdom of God. And so from there, Paul carries on and says, and we're going to move down to verse 5 and 6. What, after all, is Apollos and what is Paul? He didn't say, who are they? He said, what are they? And what are they according to what the scripture says? Servants. They are servants. And he wanted to make that distinction for a very important purpose, because the Corinthians are arguing over servants, not God's word and not God's wisdom. So they put all this energy into Paul, into Apollos, and it kind of reminds me of, I don't know if this is going to be the next, yeah, there we go. We've got two sides. Someone's going to cheer for Vikings, someone's going to cheer for Packers, someone's going to cheer for Apostle Paul, somebody's going to cheer for Apollos. Either or. Do you know anybody who is both a Vikings and a Packers fan?
No.
No. In fact, maybe now would be a good time. You know, I tainted my PowerPoint with the Green Bay Packers thing, so I don't know if we need to pray over that so it continues to work from this point on or not, but you are one or the other. As fans, we cheer for one team or the other generally, right? And so this is to go off of Paul and Apollos. I'm just going to go back to the screen. So how do we do that in our day to day, other than NFL or baseball? That's a big thing right now too. How do we choose sides in our leadership? You can think about our country. I don't think I need to say more about that. You can think about maybe school leaders, maybe city leaders. You know, obviously we're in a election season, so we're seeing all sorts of ads and championing for all the different candidates, all the different people. And so I wonder what, back in, I don't know what year this was, within like 100 AD, I think, I want to say, I want to know, how did they campaign for the Apostle Paul? How did they campaign for Apollos? What did that look like within their church that was creating a division? How did their passion come out in regards to, this is my guy, this is my guy? Well, if you move on, Paul is going to basically say, you guys, this is ridiculous. You have to understand something. The Lord has assigned to each of us a task. And in a simple way of saying it, Paul says, I planted the seed, and Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So something really interesting to point out here is if the English language, of course, in translation, we lose a lot, right? And so interestingly enough, the Greek here, the tense of the verbs planted and watered are stating that the action is completed. So Paul planted the seed, done. Apollos watered the seed, done. But the tense of the verbiage changes in the original Greek when he says God has been making it grow. It's not God made it grow, it's God is making it grow. Stating that, that action from the past continues. So whatever Apollos has done, great, he did his part, but God is actually doing the rest. And so this is important to note, because what Paul is also trying to get across is, as servants, as leaders in ministry, we want to laud praise, and, you know, guess what? It's Pastor Appreciation Month. And I was, you know, when I was reading the scripture, y'all, this is not what I wanted to talk about. And God was like, And I'd be like, nah, we're going to fluff it up with something else. And God's like, nope, come on back. Talk about the leaders in the church and the church. And so he's telling us about the different leaders, Paul and Apollos, two different leaders, both ministers and servants of God. But then he wants to go and drive the point home when he goes down and says, neither the one who plants, so neither Paul, nor the one who waters, nor Apollos, is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So you can have all the Pastor Robs in the world. You can have all the Anitas in the world. You can have, I'll pick on Rick Roseboom as well. You can have any of them, any of the pastors. You can have them all in the world. They each have their own task, but God is the one who is actually allowing them to do that work and carrying it forth. So verse 9, we are co-workers in God's kingdom, in God's service. And you are God's field, you are God's building. So what does that mean for you? What does that mean when it says you are God's field? You are God's building. If you think about a field, somebody has planted the field. Somebody has watered or maybe fertilized and tilled the fields, right? And who makes it grow? Thank you, God does. Mark has this beautiful garden out there. He sure does a lot out there, but he can't make it grow. He can do a lot of things to it to make sure it's healthy, but he's not going to make it grow. Same with the church, Paul is saying. So when you're in the context of the church of Corinth, he is saying, listen, everybody, these men, they have things to do. They are doing their labor. They are being measured by the process of what they're doing, not by the end product. You cannot praise the Apostle Paul. You cannot praise Apollos for the fields. You can praise them for the process of planting a field, but the health and the growth and the longevity of it is because of God. So stop taking sides and come back to the foundation. By the grace of God given me, I laid the foundation as a wise builder. Who is the foundation in there? Is he talking about? Shout it out. Jesus. Jesus. And then Paul ends this little section with saying, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. If Jesus Christ is already our foundation, he's already been laid there as our foundation. No matter what Paul does, no matter what Apollos does, no matter what Rob does, Anita, Rick, anybody, the foundation is Jesus Christ. So why do I bring all this up? I don't know, because the Lord was like, this is it. I said, but I don't want to go there because it gets uncomfortable. It might step on people's toes and go there. So here we are talking about the church and its leaders, and it's October and it's Pastor Appreciation Month. And I love a good Pastor Appreciation Month because I love gifting and I love praising people. I love just all of that. I love to do that. Is Paul telling us don't do that? No. He is just saying, you go on ahead and appreciate your leader. We're going to call him Rob. I don't know if he's here, if he is. Maybe he's online. We appreciate Rob. That is what we're supposed to do. But is this Rob's church? Is the foundation here Rob? Who is it, church? Okay. The reason I bring this to light is because in my new ministry role, which I love, and it's growing, and it's just such a blessing, is I hear often, and I know you guys have heard it, maybe you've said it, maybe you've thought it, Man, yeah, we're growing so much. We're going to 2 services. There's been talk of the new building, a new something. But if we build, we're going to have this big building. And then if Rob leaves, what are we going to do with it? What does Paul tell us? We are the church. You are the field. Jesus is the foundation of which you have been built. No matter what we do as a church, no matter what we build physically, it's not ours. And my favorite thing to tell people is when they say, yeah, but if Rob leaves, I tell them Rob's gonna leave. Either death or by calling. He's gonna leave. I know you all are like, don't say that. I speak truth out of love, my friends. He's going to leave someday. Now, I don't have any inside information. Please don't go out and start, you know, Anita said Rob's leaving. I don't know, but he's going to, right? In the big scheme of things, Rob won't be here forever to continue First Reformed Church because you are the field. You are the building. And from there, we must gather together and we must come onto that foundation together and recognize this is God's. What are we going to do with it? That is so scary. I'd imagine those Corinthians in this big metropolis bustling with all these things, all these different cultures, all the different religions. I can imagine they are squirming in their sandals. What do you mean we can't choose Apollos or Paul? I can see them. I can see what they're doing. I can see what Rob is doing for our church. I can't see what God's doing, but you can. You see it all the time. As I was studying this week, I got chicken scratch. That's how good this was this week. As I was studying, I got to find where I wrote it down. As leaders in the church, and this isn't just pastor, this isn't just youth ministry, family life care provider. This goes for your elders and for your deacons, anybody in ministry. Let's see, verse 8, Paul says, you know, the one who plants and the one who waters, they all have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. They're going to be rewarded for the results of their ministry, not because of the numbers, not because of how many services, not because how many kids are at this, that, or the other thing. They'll be rewarded because, did you answer the call of which God has called you to do, Rob? Anita, are you answering the call of which God has called you to do? Church, what is God calling you to do in the field? And are you doing it? You will be rewarded for the process, not necessarily the results. One more thing I want to say about the foundation. When Jesus Christ is the foundation, and I only know this because Rob and I talk about it, and a lot of us actually, we do this at staff meetings too. When we recognize, because we have never said, oh, man, we have 2 church services. Man, we have a lot of people here. That sounds funny to even say. It's always what God is doing, what God has done. Look at all, you know, look at his growth. When you can credit the foundation, there's so much freedom. There's so much freedom, not only as church leaders, but also as the church. So I'm challenging you this morning. I hope you know I'm not like alluding to anything. God would not leave me alone with this scripture. It was really annoying, and I told him. But hear this as we continue to move forward into this growing season of which we're in and we're blessed to be a part of. The church in Corinth was growing. they're new, they're 18 months old, and they're going, oh, of course they're going to, in that time, choose a leader, because that's what they're new, they're babies yet. I don't know if we're babies anymore here. Some of us are, and that's okay. But if you're not a baby anymore, let's up our diet, get to your foundation, and find that freedom in recognizing this isn't Rob's, this isn't Anita's. You know, this isn't even yours, it's God's. And so whatever that means, find freedom in recognizing God is the foundation of our church, and what does that mean going forward? And truly pray that as you do. Last thing, I think I said last thing a couple times already. Last thing. When something gets bigger and it's contained in one space, it gets a little uncomfortable, it gets a little bit gnarly and messed up. That's okay. As long as at the end of it all, as long as at the end of being in that container all together and in the midst of growing and figuring out, okay, Lord, what is it that you are doing with us here for you? Always, always. Figure out who's putting pressure on who for what. Because if we're putting pressure on each other for something to happen within the church, if we're putting pressure on our leaders for something to happen or to continue carrying forth the legacy of First Reformed Church, pressure destroys not just individuals but each other. And so if you can recognize if you're putting pressure on somebody or if you're recognizing that you're under pressure for something or for whatever in all of this, then by all means, recognize the freedom of the foundation, because when there's freedom, you're released of the pressure. That's all I got. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the ministry and the work of Paul. Lord, he gives us so much, and there's so much more here, Lord, than what I could figure out to put together. But yet you brought it, and I left it. And I pray you use it. God, we are your church. We're thankful and we're privileged for that. And I am just so grateful, Lord, that we can be here together. I really am. So grateful, Lord, that we can worship and we can focus on your word. And I don't know why I'm emotional other than the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, thank you so much for that. And as we turn to sing this next song, Lord, let us truly recognize the goodness of who you